Of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all. City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show with Pert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Al Kelly, Johnny Gibson, Billy Sands, Charlie Irving, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the week when Santa Claus pays us a visit with his familiar old bag of gifts. We now bring you a comedian who visits you every week with his bag of familiar old jokes. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Who we got out front? Whistler's mother? Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And what a day, Mr. Gallup. I had Christmas shopping. Christmas shopping. That's American for buying something someplace for somebody who somehow buys you the same thing for the same price on the same day in the same store. Mr. Gallup, I got all my presents but one. I still don't know what to get the sponsor. You know, I want to get the sponsor something he'd like better than anything in the world.
Get him Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Mr. Gallup.
It's Christmas. Presents. Oodles of goodies for good little announces. Watch your P's and Q's, Mr. G. When the old year goes, you wouldn't want to go with it, would you? Would you?
Burl, I hope you haven't succumbed to this sentimental foolishness and bought me a gift.
Sentimental foolishness? So that's the thanks that you get for trying to do something warm and friendly in the Christmas spirit. Sentimental foolishness.
Then you did get me a present?
No.
I just can't seem. I drove over in a Studebaker. I just can't. Don't applaud. It's Christmas. If you want to give me a present, not applaud. I just can't seem to find anything for you, Mr. Gallup. I really can't. I wanted to get you something for lying around the house.
Lounging pajamas?
No, a slab. Okay, then, Mr. Gallup, since there's nothing you want me to get you, at least let me shake your hand.
Shake my hand?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, there is something you can get me.
What?
A rubber glove.
Oh, that's jazzy. A rubber glove.
See, this is going to be a good year.
Good year.
Oh, brother, I bet tomorrow Lionel Barrymore will get more laughs as Scrooge.
Remember?
More laughs as Scrooge. That girl can't walk out on the broadcast.
Don't let her out.
We need them all in here tonight.
Mr. Gallup.
Mr. Gallup, changing the subject or getting back to the subject of Christmas, you're coming over to my house Christmas Eve, aren't you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Burl, I can't make it.
But you promised. You promised, Mr. Gallup. James. Skelton, I'm kidding. I was banking on you to be Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Yes, Mr. Gallup. We have no fireplace, and you're the only one I know that's thin enough to come down through the hot water pipe.
Hot water pipe.
That's what I get for telling an original joke. It won't happen again tonight, so on with our Christmas show. Christmas, when peace and good fellowship... Thank you. That's all. Thank you. When peace and good fellowship That's enough with the bells. Thank you. It's over. Thank you. Peace and good fellows. Knock off. Peace and okay. Christmas, when peace and good fellowship reign supreme. Today, people can think of nothing but Christmas. But does anyone ever give a thought to another holiday which is always ignored by an account of... Don't go away. I'll read it again. But does anyone ever give a thought to another holiday which is always ignored because of Christmas? December 21st, the shortest day of the year? Let us pause as we pay tribute to this day. Ladies and gentlemen, a salute to December 21st, the shortest day in the year. Thank you. On with our Christmas show. Ladies and gentlemen, no Christmas program is complete without that famous poem, The Night Before Christmas, as read by America's most beloved poet, who is with us tonight, Mr. Ralph Waldo Finster.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ralph Waldo Finster, in a reading of Clement Seymour's The Night Before Christmas.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the calm, not a creature was stirring, not even a grism flip face. But out on the shrubnet there arose such a slabber, I sprang for my Clyde to see what was snug Dubby Clyde. When what to my wandering bloom should a croppers but a miniature slimy and eight tiny pastanacs. With a little old man so lively and flow, I knew in a moment it must be Sam Krause. More rapid than dribbles on his clovnies they came, and he whistled and banistrated and called them by name. Ho, Dasher! Ho, Dancer! Ho, Smallman! Ho, Snubblebine! On Hammett! On Nibbert! On Umbrick and Strutterwatt! He was dressed all in chorus from his cap to his mind, and his clothes were all covered with epis and tries. He had a broad face and a little round crowbin that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of pucha. He tried to receive him to his team to the knuck, and away they all flew like the cry on the blinding. But I heard him exclaim as he ladled his bridle, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a bridal didle."
Mr. Finster has asked me to announce that if you wish a copy of the poem you've just heard, write him care of violence on the second floor. Ask for Mr. McMahon, his name. And if he's not there, Charlie Corydon will pay you. Mr. Gallup, remember those Christmases when we were young? It was such a problem getting a gift for that one and only girl. You used to say to her, "Darling, I don't know what to get you, because
you've got everything, everything I'm wild about. You've got everything, everything I've dreamed about."
Cynthia. Yes, Cynthia, you had everything, but it was just in the wrong places. Radiant Cynthia, your face reminded me of the son of Frankenstein. It was your eyes that captivated me, Cynthia. You weren't exactly cockeyed, but you were the only one who could watch a ping-pong game without moving your head. Cynthia, if only you didn't have such big ears. It was hard to tell whether you were born here or grounded by bad weather.
Grounded by bad weather.
Boing! Big economy size, Cynthia. Remember that Christmas that you hung up your stocking with a note asking Santa to fill it? He did.
But in order to do it, he had to leave two of his reindeer in it. He had to leave two of his reindeer in it. I put my riders in that stocking, too. No breathing space. Simple. Simple, unaffected Cynthia. Remember when I bought you that pair of earrings? You put one in your nose and you threw the other one away? You shouldn't have thrown it away. You should have put it in your other nose. Yes, my Cynthia had two noses. Two! Two! One for each tooth. But you didn't need any more, Cynthia, because you had... that certain indefinable something. That's what, you got, everything.
From New York to California, from Louisiana to Oregon, from city after city all over the country, eminent nose and throat specialists make this report. Listen.
We are convinced Philip Morris is definitely less irritating than any other leading cigarette. That's why in cases of irritation due to smoking, we suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, that's professional advice and good advice to every man or woman who smokes. Change to Philip Morris. Because the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. And after all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Every week you stop playing just when I'm dancing. That was Santa Claus is Coming to Town, played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, may I say that each week you get better. Last week you were nothing. And this week you're better than nothing. You better get better than nothing, because if you have nothing better than nothing, it'll be better if there's nothing and you'll get nothing. I wish I had a good joke. That was nothing. And now as we continue our salute to Christmas, we present...
Christmas Forum tonight. Christmas Forum tonight. The question, will Santa Claus ever be replaced by General Myers?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup, thank you. Now, let us have questions from the audience. Let's start with this gentleman down here wearing a Holivar Mackinaw. Yes, sir?
Mr. Merle, I represent a group of listeners who would like to come to your home Christmas morning to hang something on your tree.
You'd like to hang something on my tree?
Yes, you.
Thank you. Take it up with the branch office. Let us go on. All right, this young man with the bare midriff and the basket of bananas on his head. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Cocker Spaniel.
Your parents named you Cocker Spaniel?
Yes, they wanted a dog.
Oh, I see, I see.
I got the coldest nose in my family.
I can understand that.
If you want to be my friend, let's not discuss the whole thing.
Don't discuss it?
No, just give me a bone and pat me on the belly.
I'll do that.
Everybody makes fun of me. My girlfriend is the only one who understands me.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Lassie.
All right, fella. You have a question that has to do with Christmas gifts?
Why, you giving something away all of a sudden?
No, but I...
That I'd like to see before I die. You giving someone a present.
Now, wait a minute.
You wouldn't give anybody the lint off your union suit.
Now, listen.
Why is your heart as soft as your head? You're so cheap, the only tip you ever left was on a bad asparagus.
Look, you don't...
You're such a miser, people don't know that big pot is really a money belt.
Please.
Ah, shut up, you fat old piker.
Let us control ourselves. Let's hear from the ladies in the audience. All right, this lady in the aisle burping her baby. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question concerning Christmas gifts?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from buying me them corny gifts? His taste is all in his feet.
Your husband buys you the wrong gifts?
Last Christmas he got me perfume. Hmm? You heard of Chanel number 5?
Yes.
He got me Schlemiel number 1.
That's awful.
Once he bought a perfume that was like dishwater right out of the sink.
Sink?
It sure did.
I see what you mean.
I told him he should buy something for the house. There's lots of little things you can get in the kitchen.
Little things in the kitchen?
Yeah, he come home with an exterminator.
I understand.
What ideas he gets for gifts. This Christmas he said he was going to get me a trombone.
A trombone? Mrs. Feeney, what can you do with a trombone?
I'm afraid to ask him.
I don't blame you.
I'm fed up. Every Christmas he plays Santa Claus. He goes out shopping in the morning and at night he comes home loaded.
It's all on his back?
It's all on his breast.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. And now, as a climax to our Christmas forum, through the courtesy of the post office, we present that famous mailman upon whose brawny shoulders and mighty back your Christmas mail was brought to you. None other than Big Jim Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mail. Thank you for this glorious tribute to us mailmen who unflinchingly trudge our appointed rounds through sleet, through snow, and around Christmas we go through hail for you.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a piece of mistletoe. Mm. I think I strained myself.
Mistletoe isn't heavy.
Well, this one had 2 people under it.
Mr. Featherfield, you have quite a record. You've never delivered a wrong letter, and you've walked your rounds for 25 years. Those are tremendous feats.
You should see them with my shoes off. They call me the life of the dead letter
officer. I see. Mr. Featherfield, I understand a great complaint by mailmen is that they're always being attacked by dogs.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
My left leg has more teeth marks in it than a piece of wax fruit.
It's dreadful.
Oh, I don't mind the dogs chewing on my legs, Mr. Burrell.
You don't?
No, but when they're through, they drag me away and bury me in the backyard.
Oh, no.
Sometimes I'm buried for as long as 3 days before the dogs remember where they put me.
You poor mailman. Those heavy bags that you have to carry on your back all day long. Mr. Featherfield, you must go around with a stoop.
I did for a while, and then I married her.
Does your wife help you in your work?
Mr. Burrell, all day long when I'm walking my route, my wife is right behind me.
Right behind you?
And she's holding the leash.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you very much. Singing a song that today is everybody's favorite.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your day be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. Amen.
In Washington, since they published that list of grain speculators, they're all dreaming of a wheat Christmas. A wheat Christmas. Hey, do you think I'm not nervous? Once they start investigating who's got all the corn, goodbye, Milton. Think I'm kidding? Mr. Gallup, what trouble I had buying my wife's Christmas gift.
You did?
That's clever. I did, Mr. Gallup. For months, my wife had been raving about a little chinchilla muff with a sheared beaver pom-pom on it that she'd seen in a department store. Mm-hmm. So I went down to the department store. Hello,
Mr. Gallup.
Clerk, it's this muff right here.
Oh, Mr. Burl, it's lovely.
It is warm. Looks cute, too. It's so cuddly.
Adorable, Mr. Burl. Simply adorable.
I'll take it.
Good. Now, how about getting something for your wife?
This is for my wife.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you say $42?
Yes.
Well, here's 10, 11. No, it's Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha.
Milty, the minute I saw you, I said, that man there at the fur counter can't be Milton Berle. He's spending money. That's just what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Martha. I'm just buying this
little... Stop! No friend of mine has to pay retail prices. I can get it for you wholesale. Can't I, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, do me a favor. Don't bother. It's just a little chinchilla muff.
Okay, if you want to throw your money away. Look at Martha. Would you believe that every stitch of clothes she has on cost practically nothing?
Yes.
Sam, there's just a few more shopping days
That's
left.
That's why I'm taking you right up to see my friend Oscar Entwistle, a wholesale furrier.
Sam, don't bother.
Bother? I love it. I'm so busy out doing favors for people, I'm hardly ever home with Martha. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
Well, okay, if I can save a few dollars... Sam, where are you leading to me? It's pitch dark in here.
Oscar's place is down this hallway.
That's what you said when we went through that Chinese restaurant. We've been groping around for a half an hour.
Wait, here's something. Oop. Is that you, Martha?
Yes.
Here's the place, Sam. It says Oscar Entwistle. If it grows hair, we got it. Sam, I don't even know the man.
Oscar would be insulted if I didn't bring you. Why, he's my best friend. Any friend of mine is a friend of Oscar's. Let's go in.
Well, if he's a good friend of yours...
Shh. Here comes Oscar. Watch his face light up when he sees me. Oscar!
How are you?
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, you were at my house last New Year's Eve. You passed out, remember?
Yeah, that's the night I got rolled.
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, look who's with me, Milton Berle.
I heard his program.
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, Milty wants to buy a little chinchilla muff.
With a sheared beaver pom-pom.
Oh, he just wants to buy a little chinchilla muff.
With a sheared beaver, Sam, let's go.
Wait, you're lucky. I got just one left, only $6.
Only $6?
Shut up!
Yeah.
Part of an ensemble. With a muff, you got to take the beaver booties, beaver earlaps, a beaver sweatshirt, and a beaver tail radiator cap. $300.
$300, Sam, let's go.
Milty, Oscar is saving you a fortune. It's wholesale.
Well, okay, if it's such a bargain, I'll take it. You said the price was $300?
Only if you take the coat that goes with it. That's $600.
$600?
Shut up!
Yeah.
Milty, a beaver coat for only $600. Take it.
Well, I don't know. Tell me, is it real beaver?
Real beaver? We got to keep these coats tied down or they'd be building dams all over the place.
Real beaver coat, eh? Okay, I'll take
Shut
it.
Shut up! Yeah. You came in here to buy them up, right?
Yes, I did.
Look, for the $600 you're willing to spend, I can make you up a nice mink muff.
A mink muff? But I don't...
Shut up!
Yeah.
I'll look in the stock room and see if we got enough minks to make up a muff. You're a lucky man. man, we got two left.
Sam, let's go.
Now, look, mister. How is it going to look? Your wife and a mink muff and no mink coat to go with it.
A mink, Sam, let's go.
I'll give you a mink coat for $5,000 and we'll sew in any label you want.
$5,000?
Milty, your wife should have a mink coat.
Sam.
A woman who's married to a man in your position should look smart.
Sam.
After all, Milty, people know you to be generous, kind, lovable.
Sam.
You're suave, romantic, debonair.
Oh, Sam.
You're a fearless two-fisted fighter for the right, Sam. Get underneath, beat a heart that's warm and sympathetic.
Oh, Sam, you're terrible.
Oscar, Milty is taking the mink coat.
I am?
Yes.
But all I wanted was...
Shut up!
All right.
Here's the bill. $60,000.
$60,000? But you just said $5,000.
This is a wholesale house. We only sell by the dozen.
A dozen? All I wanted was a little pom-pom chinchilla with a...
dreaming of a white Christmas.
Hello?
Yes?
Is this the Harrison?
Yes.
Oh, is that you, Martha?
Yes.
Is Sam there?
Yes.
Can I speak to him?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, that Martha. Talk, 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 talk. Windbag.
Hello, Milty.
Sam, I just called to tell you I got the loan from the bank, mortgaged the house, got my wife a job, and we made the first payment on the 12 mink coats. I sold 11 of the coats, only lost $40,000 on the whole deal.
That's business, Milty.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll be seeing you. Oh, wait, Sam. I called you up especially to ask you to do something.
Oh, what is it?
Funny, I can't seem to remember. Oh, now I remember.
What do you want me to do, Milty?
Drop dead. I'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime, remember...
Only one more shopping day to Christmas. But there's still time to give the friendliest gift of all. A gift of Philip Morris cigarettes in the smart and distinctive holiday wrapping. No gift is easier, more convenient to buy. You don't have to push through store crowds. There's no problem in making up your mind. Just step up to any tobacco counter and call for Philip Morris in the gay holiday cartons. And remember, Philip Morris is always welcome, always appreciated. Because when you give Philip Morris, you give America's finest cigarette.
Thank you very much. Well, that about winds it up for tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of my sponsor, Philip Morris, and Johnny, I'd like to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. I know the wonderful people who are with me here each week feel the same way. How about you, Dick Farney?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, well, and how about you, Ray Block?
Merry Christmas, Mr. Petrillo.
And Mrs. Feeney?
Merry Christmas, folks, from me and my husband, Brentwood.
Thank you. And how about you, the young man with the mistletoe hanging from his nose? Would you like to...
Leave me alone, will you? The show is over.
Yeah, but I...
Will you stop flapping those big lips and let me get a word in?
But all I
want to say Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. How about you, Mr. Featherfield?
Thank you for this golden opportunity.
Mr. Featherfield, well, they just say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And Mr. Finster?
I just want to say the best of all the clothes to all our faithful gentlemen, and Merry Christmas.
Well, well, that about takes care of everybody. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Oh, good.
I'd
just to say happy in a
very much. You have to be different all the time.
Yeah. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and hope for Philip Morris.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Hello. Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation pipe tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show is written by Nat Hyken and Aaron Rubin, and Mr. Frank Gallup saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.